This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Tommy Thrall is no stranger to the Reds organization. He's been calling games for the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, a double-A team for the Reds, but he got the call up to the majors and will join Reds legend Marty Brenneman and Jeff Brantley in the Cincinnati announcer's booth this season, the 46th and final for Brenneman. Thrall joins us live on the phone. Welcome, Tommy.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Absolutely. We're excited. And congratulations and welcome to Cincinnati. You've been calling minor league baseball games in Pensacola for several seasons, and now you're called up to the majors. Take us to that moment when that call came in.
Yeah, it's really hard to put into words, to be honest. I mean, you work at something for a long time, and this is something that I've known that I wanted to do for as long as I can remember, really. I mean, it goes back to when I was 10 years old, probably even before that. So you work a long time towards something. I knew what I wanted to do when I went to college and then started working in minor league baseball, first independent ball, then a brief stint out in Myrtle Beach and the Quad Cities for a couple of years, and then down in Pensacola. And, so you work hard for something, and you, when you're at something for so long and nothing's happened, kind of start to wonder, well, is this really what I'm cut out for? So when that opportunity finally presents itself, you're just kind of overwhelmed and overcome with joy and excitement. And it's, like I said, it's so hard to put into words. It feels surreal most of the time, and there's just been a few moments here and there where it's kind of hit me like, wow, this is reality, and I couldn't be more excited for it, that's for sure.
Well, you said you were thinking about this type of work since you were 10 years old, so when you started out or when you were first dreaming about it, was there like an ultimate goal? Was there a dream job in the business, so to speak?
Just really working in Major League Baseball with a team. I've always, growing up, I grew up in Kansas City, so Denny Matthews was the guy that I grew up listening to as a kid. It was him and Fred White and then Ryan Lefever. So those are the guys that I grew up listening to, and I always admired the connection that the radio broadcasters have with their team. And, when I was a kid, there wasn't the same coverage on television that there is now. So for me, it was radio, and that was my true passion, and that's what I loved growing up. And so I think that's just kind of how it all started. It's just, that connection with the team, and it didn't matter the team. It just, I wanted to do radio for a team in the big leagues, and now that dream is becoming a reality. So it's great.
If you've got questions for Tommy Thrall, the new announcer at the Cincinnati Reds, call 513-419-7100. You can also email your comments or questions to talk@wvxu.org or look us up on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be looking for your comments and your tweets. So, Tommy, your first full season with the Reds is also going to be the last for Marty Brenneman. He's been the voice of the Reds for 46 years. What does it mean to you to come here during the transition of such a legendary broadcaster?
I mean, it's incredible. You try to soak up as much as you can from a guy like that. And, he's been around camp here the last few days, and I've just kind of tried to stay in the shadows a little bit and sit back and watch him. It's not just necessarily watching, how he goes about his business. It's more of how does he interact with fans? And he is so great with fans. And as you might expect, a lot of folks come up to him and talk to him when he's bouncing around field to field, and he loves it. And he's so great with everybody, and he handles everything with such class and grace. And it's stuff like that. I mean, sure, I'm going to pick up as much as I can from him about how he goes about his daily work in the booth, but there's so much more to it than that. So the more you can pick up being around a guy like that, I think the better off you are. So it's a great opportunity. It's a great learning opportunity. I certainly don't know what the future has in store beyond this year, but I know given an opportunity to work with somebody like that this season, I'm certainly going to try to get the most out of it that I can. And boy, I respect the heck out of what Marty does and his work. And he is just one of the legends of the craft. And it is truly an honor just to be a fly on the wall during this really incredible season for him.
You talked very well about Marty. You mentioned the pair of announcers from your younger days in Kansas City. What do you think makes a great baseball announcer?
Well, that's tough. I think one thing you have to do, first of all, I think on radio, you have to be able to paint the picture so well. And I know a lot of people talk about that, but I think that's one thing that's still really important. But keep the game entertaining and keep it interesting while still staying with the game. You have somebody that you welcome into your living room 162 nights a year. So they've got to be easy to listen to. They got to be very clear and tell you what's going on. Obviously, the score is extremely important, but being able to paint that picture for, you know, when you're not at the ballpark, whether you're in your car or whether you're at home listening to the game, wherever you may be, just being able to picture the game as it's happening. I think as a broadcaster, that's one of the best compliments you can get. Is, hey, I had the game on. I was at work. I was at the office, but it felt like I was there. And that's, to me, what really does it. And there's a lot of elements that go into being able to do that. It's not just the descriptions, but allowing the sound effects that you have at your disposal, whether it's the crowd, the crack of the bat, the pop of the mitt. There's a lot of things that kind of help in addition to just what you have to say on the microphone.
So you're joining the Reds organization that has experienced 5 straight losing seasons, and since 2000 has only had 4 winning seasons, no World Series since 1990. So when you join an organization that maybe, I dare say, trending downward or may have some low morale or may have a fan base that's expecting disappointment, what role do you see an announcer playing in keeping the fans engaged?
I think you just want to stay entertained and stay positive. That's one thing that I think is pretty important is just staying upbeat. There's always going to be brighter times ahead. And it's kind of like life. You know, we go through ups and downs in life, but you know, you always have to keep your mind looking forward and not dwell on the past and just look ahead, because you know things are going to get better. And this team is certainly set up to have a really good year. Being in camp and talking a little bit with David Bell and some of the players, there is genuine optimism, and it's not blind optimism. There's reason to have hope for this season with the acquisitions that have been made. It's just kind of energized this team. And you look at what they did offensively last year, and they're a pretty powerful team offensively. They still hit well. They hit for some power. They were able to produce some runs. And the area they needed to improve the most was their starting pitching. They went out, did that. So there's genuine reason to be optimistic about this season, and that's already showing down here in Goodyear with this team and this clubhouse. And the little time I spent in Cincinnati before I came out here, even fans have noticed it. So it's great to come in to this season when there's so much reason for hope, and I'm certainly excited to see how this whole thing plays out.
All right, well, let's bring in 2 more voices to chat about the Reds. WVXU media writer John Kieswetter is here, and so is WVXU senior political reporter and our resident Cincinnati Reds expert, Howard Wilkinson. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Hi, Tom.
Thank you.
Both of you understand the significance of Marty Brenneman's final season and yes, then bringing in Tommy Thrall. So I want to hear your perspectives on that.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, and I heard Tommy when Marty was off at his golf tournament last year. And you know, I thought, Tommy, you did a great job of play-by-play. The one thing that really impresses me about your background coming to this team is that there are so many of these young players that are on the Reds roster or who could be on the Reds roster this year that you've seen develop in Double A. I mean, you know some of these guys. What's your assessment of the young talent that you've seen go through Pensacola and the Reds organization in the last few years?
Well, there's certainly room for optimism there. And there's some guys in this system that you know, give you reason for hope. And I'll start with the pitching, because I think that's the area that, you know, everybody looks at these deals. Tanner Roark is on a 1-year deal. Alex Wood is in his last year. And so I think there's some thought that, well, they're just going for it all this year. Well, I think the hope is that these guys are going to give some of the younger pitchers like Tyler Mahle and even Sal Romano and whoever else is going to fill out that rotation. There's certainly some opportunities for some guys to step up and fill out those last few spots. it gives those guys more time to develop. I am still convinced that Tyler Mahle is going to be a good major league pitcher. He was one of the most dominant pitchers I've seen in the minor leagues. I mean, there's just a lot to like about him. So I think you're looking at some of these young pitchers, and there's reason to think that this rotation could be really good in the future. I think that that's what makes those acquisitions so important, is it extends the development process. You look at a lot of pitchers, there are a lot of guys that have gone on to be very good major league pitchers, and it just took them a little while to get off the ground. And that's not uncommon. It's not easy just to step into the big leagues and start having success right away. So I think that'll be important in development. As far as position players go, the infield looks to be pretty well set. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen at second base in the future. But you've got Nick Senzel, who is certainly a guy that's ready to take over center field. And he is the type of guy that I think will just hit regardless of where you put him. And so I think that's something that, when you look to the future, whether he stays there or they move him somewhere else, that'll be interesting to see. But he's a guy that's a great athlete. I know you look at him and you think, well, he's always been an infielder. He's just got the athleticism to be able to move anywhere, and I think he's going to hit regardless of what level he's at. So that's exciting. And then there's some other guys. Taylor Trammell is certainly a guy to be excited about, and I haven't had a chance to see him. I talked to him a little bit today. He's certainly got a great head on his shoulders and is a great human being. So he hasn't shown any reason to doubt his abilities at all, just with the success he's had everywhere. Kind of a dark horse for me is a guy I saw a little bit last year in the outfield, TJ Friedl, just a guy that goes out, hustles, he hits well, and he's going to be a kind of a guy to keep an eye on. He started to creep into some of the prospect list and rankings, so he's going to be exciting to watch whether he's in Double-A again this year, up to Triple-A in Louisville.
Yeah, I saw him in Dayton. I mean, I was very impressed by that kid.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I want to remind everybody who's talking here today. We're talking with the new announcer at the Cincinnati Reds, Tommy Thrall. He's been very gracious to join us for the back half of the show today. We've also got WVXU media writer John Keysweater and WVXU political analyst Howard Wilkinson. And Keys, before you weigh in on the media coverage, let's get to the phones. We've got Andrew on the line. I think he's got a question for Tommy. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
Hey, great, Andrew. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, I'm from Dayton, and so I'm here at the Dragons all the time. And I grew up playing up until I was about 16, 17, and I had aspirations to want to go into college and whatnot and play. Then music came into my life, and I still love the game and watch it. And I was just wondering if you may have had a similar account. Did, like, announcing come into your life later, and that's when you wanted to go that way? Or did you have any aspirations, to go into the big leagues playing and then just found announcing and found that to be your passion?
Yeah, appreciate the question. I think we all want to, we all dream to play in the big leagues at some point in our lives. And at some point we realize that that's not in the cards. I realized that pretty early on. I was a pretty scrawny guy in high school. Couldn't hit my way out of a wet paper bag and couldn't throw very hard either. So I realized I didn't have a lot of tools that scouts look for in baseball players. So I had always wanted to be a broadcaster anyway, so it just kind of went from there. God kind of told me at one point baseball wasn't for me when I was a senior, and worked my tail off to finally get some playing time my senior year of high school, build up my arm strength. By that point, I'd pretty much given up on trying to be a position player, so focused on pitching and had done everything I wanted to do and built up my arm strength. And then all of a sudden, in a freak sledding accident, I hit the only tree in a neighborhood while I was sledding down a sidewalk in an ice storm and broke my femur. And that pretty well told me, all right, give up baseball and just focus on broadcasting. So that's what I did. And it's certainly been a fun journey ever since. But I don't think you ever stop missing playing the game, that's for sure.
I think sledding accidents have sent more than one person into the broadcasting industry, that's for sure. Andrew, thanks for the call. John Keysweater, just speak on this arrival of Tommy and departure of Marty at the end of this season in terms of significance in the media industry locally.
Well, when you think of Marty Brenneman, 46 years, and we're celebrating the 150th of the Reds, so that means like nearly one-third of the Reds' history, he's been the voice of summer. The one advantage I see that Tommy has coming in is that Marty came here from Norfolk. Al Michaels came in from Hawaii. They weren't part of the Reds system. So at least Tommy can come in. I'm guessing, Tommy, you've got a comfort level in that you've seen some of these players. You're familiar with some of the faces. You could pull a story from what you saw in Pensacola when you're at the mic, as opposed to just seeing a new roster cold.
Yeah, and I think that helps a lot. In the minor leagues, pretty much every season, you get almost an entirely new roster and a group of new players to learn every year. And that can be a pretty daunting task, and you don't really start to feel like you have a feel for the group until almost a third of the way through the season. And as you talk about that, if you go to a new organization, that's what you would have to deal with. Only it would be everybody, top to bottom. So, yeah, having that comfort level coming in helps a lot. And as I go through the clubhouse here, I mean, there's so many players that I'm familiar with, pitchers, position players, and that certainly makes it a lot more comfortable. But beyond even the players, just the front office staff, so many of them have come through Pensacola over the years, and I've had a chance to build relationships with those guys as well. Nick Kroll, Dick Williams, Jeff Grappe, a lot of guys in this organization that I've been able to get to know, and you develop a comfort level with. It certainly helps a transition like this.
513-419-7100 if you want to weigh in. Also email talk at WVXU or find us on social media for comments and tweets that we'll look for. All right, let's make some predictions here. So we heard from Joey Votto, first baseman, that the Reds could win the division this year. It got some eye rolls, but I guess it also generates some enthusiasm. Well, I mean, what do we got here? Do we have a division-winning team this year?
Potentially, but I don't know that it's going to be a division-winning team this year. It's going to be a much-improved team. And I think there is a whole lot of optimism among fans this year. I think Monday, when single-game tickets go on sale, you're going to see a big rush on tickets for this ball club this year because of the acquisitions, because of the stuff they've done in the off season. It is a much better ball club now than it was in September of last year.
And you know that without having seen a game yet from this new team.
Absolutely.
Well, that's good handicapping, I guess. And Tommy,
I'll tell you why, because there's a whole lot of these guys I have seen come up through the minor leagues, and I know their quality. Somebody like a Senzel or a Sal Romano or Tyler Molly. And these are good quality ball players, and they're going to be around for a long time.
Tommy, I want to get your thoughts on Cincinnati in general as a sports town because, and I'm not trying to dog the Reds, of course. I mean, the records just kind of speak for themselves. It's been a rough stretch, but it's also been kind of rough for Bengals fans because we've had some disappointing seasons as well. Our major college sports teams haven't threatened for a national title in quite some time. So, Tommy, I know you know sports towns. What do you think of Cincinnati as a sports town?
Well, I think when you look at cities, I think you just have to be fortunate. Appreciate the fact that you've got a Major League Baseball team, an NFL team. There's really, you know, even up the road, Columbus isn't too far away, so you've got some NHL not too far down the road if, you know, you want to catch a hockey game and now Major League Soccer. So, sure, every city goes, I think, through their struggles. So that's just something that happens. But there's also been a lot of success, especially with the Reds over the years as well. And you have to appreciate the tradition and the history that goes with a very proud franchise. So as far as sports towns go, I think it's an incredible sports town. And you know everybody's going to get it turned around. And if it all gets turned around at the same time, look out. That could be some wild times in the sports scene in Cincinnati.
So let's talk baseball in general. Gallup survey released in January found that football still ranks first in popularity among all sports. And the numbers broke down as follows. And these numbers represent the percentage of respondents who voted for each sport as their favorite. 37% said football, 11% said basketball, only 9% said baseball. That's 2 percentage points higher than the 7 that soccer got. That's the lowest baseball rank since Gallup first started asking this question in 1937. What's going on? I'd like to hear from Tommy first.
I guess if you ask me, I don't necessarily know. I think there's a lot being made about the pace of play. I'm not sure if that's what it is. I think baseball is still a very popular game. fans are still going to the ballparks. Teams that have success, they still draw well. One thing that I think baseball will always have going for it is that it's so constant. It's every night. So people still pay attention to it. People still like baseball, but it's not something that you work up towards all week like you do football. I really don't necessarily know from a popularity standpoint why it would be down. Because to me, it's the greatest game there is. I love it, so it's hard for me to kind of figure out what fans don't like about it.
And I would think that those Gallup numbers would be different in this city than Nashville.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And baseball knows this, Major League Baseball knows this, that they have to do more to appeal to a younger audience, too. And they're trying very hard to do that. Every Major League franchise is doing things like the Reds Heads Kids Club and those kind of things to get young people, children, even infants involved in baseball and, you know, to grow a new generation of fans.
Which is the lifeblood of a minor league team. I'm sure you've seen all those promotions in Pensacola. We've seen them in Dayton.
I don't know. Maybe we need to add a 3-point shot or a shot clock or something to pick up the pace a little bit. So we've got a new manager as well. I mean, this is a lot of change happening in the Reds organization. And I think you may be right in saying that baseball in Cincinnati probably has a higher percentage of popularity than other places because of the historic significance of this particular organization, the first professional team, that wild run they had throughout the 20th century of championships and some of these major figures that still loom large in our community. So we've got all this new energy. So when we get together again in October to recap this season, what are we going to be saying?
I have a feeling we're going to be saying that this is a much improved team that's on the threshold of going all the way.
All right. So we've got just about 10 seconds, Tommy. What do you think we'll be saying?
Boy, I think so. I think just optimism and promise for the future, and that'll be a big step forward for this organization.
Tommy Thrall, welcome to town. Welcome to the Reds. We look forward to listening to you.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Had a great time.
Absolutely. And John Keysweater and Howard Wilkinson from WVXU as well. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. Will Ohio drivers be paying more at the pump? Governor Mike DeWine explores a raise in the state's gas tax. A tentative settlement is reached in a case involving text messages between members of Cincinnati City Council. FC Cincinnati Stadium negotiations move forward. And will Election Day become a holiday in the Queen City? Those stories and more in our weekly news review tomorrow at noon on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.